003, the year 2012, 8th of January, Dharma.
Greetings to all. It's again a privilege to be at front here and a great responsibility. I believe that the Lord, in His faithfulness, He will bless us. If we can open our Bibles, please. In John chapter 9, the Gospel according to John chapter 9. I'm going to read from verse 1 to verse 4. Now as Jesus passed by, He saw a man who was blind from birth. And His disciples asked Him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parent, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither this man nor his parent sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. Verse 4, I must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can walk. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, by your grace we are in your presence this afternoon. We thank you for this opportunity, and we make ourselves available for you to speak to our heart and to change our lives. Help us to understand your word and to apply it in our everyday lives. Yeah. We thank you, Lord. Take control and receive the glory. Yeah. As we receive in your word, heal those who need healing among us. Meet the needs of those who have been waiting patiently on you. Yeah. And glorify your name. Yeah. In Jesus' name we pray. Yeah. Amen. Well, the selection of this short text, it was just to lead me to verse 4, where Jesus is making this statement saying he must walk the works of the one who sent him while it is day. Because the night is coming when no one can walk. Yeah. I would love to entitle the message that I have to bring right now to you, this year, 2012. A kind of strange title. This year, 2012. I was looking at the church life over the years, how as ministers of the gospel, many of us, because there are always exceptions, many of us have been, when we approach in December of every year, seeking the face of the Lord and bringing a word, a proclamation, a prophecy, proclaiming that the upcoming year will be this or that kind of year. A year of healing, a year of reconciliation, a year of breakthrough, a year of blessings, a year of this, or of that. And being trusted by the congregation, many children of God take the proclamation or the declaration or the prophecy that we gave, they take it to heart. And the point, the focus on what the man or woman of God has said before the year starts. Some, of course, will see things unfolding themselves in accordance to the proclamation that was made, and others, we reached the end of that very year without seeing what was promised. They can bear with it, and others become disappointed that the man or woman of God said this, but from January to December, I didn't see what was promised. And instead of pouring the anger to the month that pronounced that this year will be this or that, they put the anger to God. And they can draw quickly a conclusion that God has deceived them. Last Sunday, I asked here a question. Who was God for you in 2011? And who is or will be God for you in 2012? And briefly, I said how some people, that include me as well, came through all sorts of challenges. And whenever a challenge comes in your life, it has one mission: to fight your faith. Yeah. No matter the nature of the challenge that you're facing. Yeah. For some people, it can touch your health. You can struggle with your health. All sorts of prayers will be done for your health. But the change that you are expecting, or people praying for you are expecting to see, the change, we don't see it sometimes. Though we believe in a God who is the healer, time after time we've seen Him healing us and healing people for whom we are praying. But He's sovereign. He does things according to His own agenda, according to His own time. Whether He heals you or not, delays the healing, it doesn't affect His love and care for you. So when your health is shaken, it's an opportunity for the devil to whisper to your heart and tell you that, you see, where is God in your situation? If God exists, why isn't He healing you? Does He really care for you? Does He love you that much? Is He taking pleasure to see you in this health condition? For others, they are healthy. They don't have any problem at all with their health. But economically, financially, they are really, really struggling. They are applying for jobs, or they are doing some jobs, but nothing really is helping them to meet all the financial expenses, to pay the bills, to finish that mortgage, or to meet that particular need that requires money. And that also can drive them to say, where is the God in whom my hope is? The one I believe in, the one I trust in. Where is He? Isn't it the Bible says that gold and silver belongs to Him? Amen. With my very eyes, I've seen my brother, my sister being financially blessed. But why only me? My financial blessing is being delayed. Where is God for me? Does He know me? Does He care for me? And the conclusion will be your faith. The enemy will try with all those questions to knock down your faith, to destroy your faith because of that financial need. Others, they have jobs, they have money, They don't have debt. But maybe it's a problem of marriage. They've been into one or two, three relationships, and it didn't work out according to what they were expecting. And some even are seeing that the age is advancing and the hope of getting in a serious relationship that can lead to marriage is fading away. And the anger can rise in the heart and say, where is God? Like this guy, he told me, I don't know if 2012 will finish before I get the opportunity to get a partner and settle down. So each one of us is an individual, and we have circumstances that can condition our faith to remain strong or can destroy our faith. In everything, the enemy will take an opportunity to bombard you with questions, to cause you to question the existence, especially the love of God for you. And if you give in to what the devil is bringing as questions to you, you'll end up saying there is no God. Or if there is one, he doesn't care for me. He doesn't pay attention to my needs. So last Sunday we said that God remains God. When we try to mix him with our personal needs, we can forget that he is beyond those needs. Our needs are just small details. But our definition of God should be beyond our personal life circumstances. We cannot put him in a box of a provider only, as I said last Sunday. We cannot put him in a box of the one who provides marriages only, or the one who can bring healing only. He is more than that. And he does care. So, going back to what I was saying, the year 2012, it's a bit different. Because the years that went by, small portions of religious or faith people have put much attention and focus on those years. Some even went at the extreme to proclaim those particular years to be the years where the Lord Jesus will return. The rapture will happen. But unfortunately for them, all those prophecies did not happen. So the effort they have put into preparing those particular years that the Lord Jesus will return, the effort went without producing what they were expecting to see. And they got the labels of false prophets. Coming to the year 2012, the faith groups, religious people, academics, and many others are paying attention to this year that we are in, 2012. And all it's going to the Mayans calendar. It's a trap that you can find in Mexico and most parts of Central America. They have been prophesizing, according to the calendar, some prophecies, the Mayans, can I call them spiritual people? I don't know how to qualify them. But according to the research that I have done, they made a calendar, and this calendar basically is presenting different times of the cycle of the world in which we are. Without going into so many details, according to that calendar, the world cycle will finish the 21st of December this year. So, many people looking at that date, the 21st December 2012, and not only looking at what the Mayans have prophesied, but what other people that they are respecting highly, like Nostradamus and other prophets, all those secular prophets are joining the Mayans calendar to say that the 21st of December 2012, something extraordinary will happen. Brief, they're looking at what the Mayans say, that the center of the world will have an exact alignment with the sun and the center of the Milky Way galaxy. So when that alignment will happen, a galactic event will produce catastrophes that this earth will have to face. In other terms, it will be the polar shift that will happen. And that galactic event will produce things like tsunamis that we never experienced before. Volcanic eruptions will happen. Many things, chaos will happen here on earth. So for some, all those things, catastrophes, will bring this world to its end. It will be the end of the world. Another group said, no, of course, the galactic event will happen, but it will be the end of the circle of this world that we are in, and a new circle will begin. So there is no one point that all of them are standing by, that the world will end or the world will not end. However, they all accept that those catastrophes will happen. Some faith people and religious people as well have joined them, accepting that, yes, it will be the end of the world. As I heard today in Big Question, we must repent because it will be the end of the world. We must repent. The Bible says that no one knows, neither the day or the hour, No one knows. So if you ask my opinion, will the 21st of December this year be the end of the world? I will say no. According to what the Bible is saying, that no one knows the day or the time. However, as a child of God, I'm curious to see a year that is attracting the attention of even those who don't believe in the Lord. I'm really curious to see how people are shaken by this year, not the other years that in my lifetime I have experienced. What can I do as a child of God? The pastor says, rejoice. Pray. Shall I be afraid and live in fear throughout this year because the whole world is concerned? No. Shall I ignore all the debate that is going on about this year? Or shall I pay attention to what is being said by rejoicing, keeping my faith intact? Going into the details, we've seen, of course, volcanic eruptions in the world killing people. We've seen natural disasters, catastrophes hitting the world. We've seen what's happened in Japan. We've seen what's happened in many parts of the world. The reality that the world is facing, all those are signs that normally should drive people to understand that there is a God somewhere who created all this stuff. And as human beings, whether we are progressing with the technology, but we don't really master what is going on with the humanity, we should humble ourselves to that God. But that is far from many. It's really far from many. Everything can have a logical explanation. And the more you put God out of the debate, the better. Which is a mistake. Now, the point that I'm trying to convey here is this one. Personally, I don't know what will happen in this year. Here in England where we are, or elsewhere in the world. If there will be natural disasters throughout this year, wherever those disasters are happening, they are not only happening to unbelievers. They affect Christians as well, even good Christians. It will be foolish to say that people who lost their houses in those tsunamis, people who lost their loved ones, wherever those natural catastrophes happened last year or the years before, that they were unbelievers. They were being punished by God because of the sin or the sins of the grandparents, son, and so forth. It will be foolish to declare that. When they happen also to Christians. In my country, Congo, in the eastern part of my country, many women and female children have been wrecked by my own people because of political manipulation. And many, even today, continue to be wrecked in a horrible and terrific way. Shall I conclude that women who are being raped in my country by my own people are only those who don't believe in the Lord Jesus? No. Good Christians are numbered among them as well. When experiencing those rape or losing family members elsewhere in the world through the tsunamis and everything, they may ask themselves, where is the God in whom I trust, in whom I believe? Where is he? Why can't he stop this tsunami? Why can't he stop these raids? Why can't he protect? Why? Why? Proverbs chapter 4. The book of Proverbs chapter 4. Verse 20 to 23. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your ears. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all the flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. I repeat verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. The year 2012 will be how the Lord will allow it to be. We have one thing to do, to keep our heart with diligence. We don't have to panic because of what the Mayans prophesied many years ago. We don't have to panic because of what Nostradamus, with all his reputation, because all these people, many of the prophecies came to pass. The pedigree in what they have prophesied is good to the academics. We don't have to panic as children of God. But whether catastrophes start to happen or continue to happen, we have one thing: to keep our heart, to protect our heart. If we don't do that, those questions that kill the faith will destroy our faith. We can start reasoning in the manner that the world is reasoning, putting God out of our daily lives, doubting God, forgetting that many things that are happening, we are also responsible in the way that we are running the resources the Lord gave us to enjoy. But the way we're running those resources, we are putting ourselves in many dangers. So instead of taking the responsibility of what we are doing to this earth, we can easily put the blame on God. Protect your heart with diligence. Whether the money you asking the Lord to give you, the marriage you asking him to give you, the health, the healing you are hoping to see the Lord giving you for yourself or your loved one, protect your heart. Don't let anything destroy your heart. All those stuff, when they come in your life, they cause you to lack peace. They can take away your joy. They can completely cause you to draw wrong conclusions. You have to protect your heart. Don't let anything at all, destroy you and take away, rob you from your peace, from your joy. Is it easy? No, it's not. To guard your heart with diligence, to protect it from any kind of logics that can destroy you, is not easy. But with the Lord on our side, we are more than conquerors. He's more than able to give us the strength that we need for us to guard our heart. We cannot blame others for the condition of our attitudes when bad things are happening to us. Surely the devil will use people to fight our faith. He will use people. Among them, it can be people that we really, really, really trust. People for whom we have really suffered. Last year, I went to bury my cousin who was murdered by the one meant to protect her, meant to love her. Pregnant of 8 months, she was beaten and killed by that person meant to love and protect her. As if that was not enough, he took the body and confined it into a chest freezer. Lived in the same house for a week with a dead body. We've seen things like this happening. The person that you love, the person meant to love you back, the person meant to have a sense of gratitude to you, can be the very person the devil will take and use as a powerful weapon in his hand to destroy you as a human being. You'll have to react. Your attitude will be affected, but the decision is yours on how your attitude has to be affected. The decision is yours. He can take away things that matters to you, but he cannot take away your attitude. And your heart will be protected according to the decision you make in regard to the attitude you have to have in that very problem. So, in other terms, you are responsible of your attitude in the bad things that are happening to you. You can choose to be a miserable. You can choose to blame God. You can choose to rebel against God. You can choose to lock yourself in your room. You can choose to start drinking. You can choose to turn to drug. Become a drug addicted, an alcoholic, or just live a life of a rebel. But what are you going to gain in whichever attitude you adopt in reaction to bad things that can happen to you? Drinking will put you in more misery. Drug will destroy you even more. to start mourning, it won't take you anywhere. You become more miserable. But, as we heard, if you choose to rejoice, then something positive will happen to you. Something positive will happen to you. You have to make a choice. We are only at the beginning of this year. We have to make choices every single day on how we'll finish January. We start February, finish it. Even how we'll finish December. How we'll pass the 21st of December. We have to make decisions at daily basis. And that's where our faith is tested. Because some people, their faith is based on interest. God is just the God that they can go to, like playing the lottery and win the jackpot. And for other people, God is the Father. Someone that they have that personal relationship with. Whether things are good or bad, the relationship remains. It's like a marriage. Not a contract marriage that this society has shown to us. That the marriage exists when A, B, C, D are in place. But a covenant that we have to keep, we have to protect, we have to honor whether things are going wrong or are going in the direction that we want. Protect your heart. Protect your heart. Don't let any circumstance, anything destroy your heart. You can write down a few verses that we won't have time really to read. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 to 6, is talking about the love of money and the contentment. Apostle Paul, I love him, he's saying he has learned to live in plenty. He has learned as well to live in few. And when the Bible is talking about contentment, if you read the Bible carefully, you're going to see that that is more linked to money. To learn to be content with what you have. Whether you have plenty of money or you have few, to learn to be content with that. Is it easy? Especially when financially you're struggling to be content. It's a big challenge. It's really a big challenge. When financially you're struggling, you know that that bill has to be honored, has to be paid. But Paul says, I've learned. He went through that learning process, and he got to that point of being content. What is contentment? He has learned how to bless the Lord even when he's unable to pay for his bus fare. And that conditioned him to walk long distance to reach the destination where he's going. He can still praise the Lord. He can still praise the Lord when He's unable to celebrate his birthday the way he used to do. Oh, he's unable to eat at the standard that he used to love to eat. He can't afford that standard that he can say, this is me. This is my life. But financially, as he's struggling, he accommodates himself to be happy in that struggle. Learn as well to be content. Don't curse God because the finances are not in that place where you want them to be. Yes, learn to be content as well in whichever condition you find yourself in. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 7 is talking about the good fight that we have to fight. I've said it and I insist again that anything that's happened to us is targeting our faith. Let's keep our heart and fight the good fight of faith. Before even starting the battle, we are more than conquerors. Because God on our side, we have the victory. It might be hard in the flesh, but we are winners. Matthew, finally, chapter 6, verse 19 to 20. We can read this one and close there. Matthew chapter 6, 19 to 20. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Amen. I've been deploring the attitude of the 21st century Christianity or Christians when I saw that so many Christians have put their heart into the things of this world. And many, even when they are giving in the church, is not because of the love of God that they have, but is because of what is being promised to them, for them to gain more material and more things of this world. The church has been conducting missions in Romania. I have a question, Pastor. Were you expecting a thick envelope there in those villages in Romania? But you were spending from your own pocket. And the church has been spending. That's what the Lord is expecting everyone to behave. I was in a meeting one day somewhere, and a preacher came from Africa. He gave a testimony. By the end of the testimony, it was an altar call that has to be done for people to give money and to be in return blessed financially, to come out of poverty and this and that. So the testimony goes like this. He had to travel to America, but he didn't have time to buy the ticket in advance. So he went to the airport. When he got there, He said, I want a ticket for the next flight. And the customer service lady said, I'm sorry, there is no place. And the guy replied to the customer service lady saying, where I belong, there is always place. And the lady asked, where do you belong? He replied, first class. And the customer service lady said, oh, sure, wait. Let me see what I can do for you. Because he belongs to the first class and there is always space. So, all this was converging to attract people's attention to so many for them to ascend to that dimension of first class. And people went madly crazy giving a lot of money. The money that was meant even to pay for the bills, they gave everything because that person who belongs to the first class will pray for them and they will be also upgraded to the first class. We have to protect our heart from the love of money. We have to protect our heart from the love of material things. Whenever we give to the work of God, let us give, not expecting that He will give us a thousandfold, not according to what the Bible says, because it's true, He has to give us a thousandfold, but not in the manner of the world today, driven by that love of money to get that thousandfold, but because of the love of God. Amen. Protect your heart, no matter what, this year. But I believe the Lord will keep you safe. But you are responsible of your attitude throughout this year. Let's stand up and pray. I would love each and every one of us to recommend ourselves to the Lord and ask Him to help us to protect our heart. To protect our heart from the panic that the world can bring to us in regard to all those Mayans or Nostradamus prophecies. To protect our heart from any natural disaster or catastrophe that can happen in this world this year. To protect our heart from the love of money that has taken the love of God away from many people's heart. To protect our heart so that any decision we make that we condition our attitude be a decision that will honor God. A decision that will cause our heart to remain at peace and to be one with the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Start telling the Lord something. Be free. You can pray in your heart or you can raise your voice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You won't be able to succeed by your own. You need the Lord on your side. You need the Lord on your side. You need His help. Ask Him to help you. He's the one who knows your tomorrow. He knows every ups and downs that can come your way. He knows everything. May He remain God in your life. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, Heavenly Father, I come to you as I am, with my strength, with my weaknesses, just as I am, O Lord. There are things, according to the abilities that you have invested in me, I can do. And there are other things that are beyond my strength, O Lord. You've promised to protect, to keep me safe, Father. Keep me. Protect me throughout this year, Lord. Father, I believe that nothing will happen to me that you have not allowed to happen. For the good things, I give you glory, O Lord. And for the bad things, I give you glory, O Lord. I ask you to give me the strength that I need so that I might not deny you. I might not question your love for me, your care for me. But consider you as my Lord, as my God. Whatever happens, I give you glory, Lord. I pray for my brother, for my sister here, Father. Especially those among us who last year was so difficult, so hard, O Lord. Who had to cry in secret, O Lord. Who had to ask themselves so many questions in secret, O Father. I pray that you make a way for them. That you sustain their faith, O Lord. That you cause them not really to doubt you, O Father. But to keep you as the center of their lives. At the center of their worship. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. As a church, we pray, Father, protect us. Keep us safe, O Lord. Even if the enemy send in our midst somebody to destroy, protect us, O Lord. Keep us safe, O Lord. The same thing for our families, we pray, O Lord. Anything that the enemy would plan to destroy our families, Father, expose it and give us, Father, the wisdom to deal with it before the disaster happen, O Lord. Help us, we pray. Help us, we pray. We ask Pastor Andrew to raise the voice and to pray and bless all of us.
Father, we just thank you for your word today. As we, O God, seek your face, seek your kingdom. Lord, as we stay focused on you, and not on the things that are passing in this world today, but as we stay focused on you, O God, that we shall see your hand be made bare over our lives, we shall see the victories in our lives, O God, as we look to you, the author and finisher of our faith, the one who takes us from death into life, the one who covers us and protects us with his wings. And Father, we thank you that as the enemy would seek to come against us, Lord, we pray that, Lord, you would cause our eyes to be open and to see the wickedness of the enemy and to be able to drive him out before he attacks, to avoid him, to take evasive action so that, Lord, that none of your children would be lost. And Father, we pray that our faith should remain strong as we stay with our eyes fixed upon the risen Lord, upon the victorious Savior, upon the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, for He is the one who reigns supreme. He is the one who will call time on all eternity. And we worship you, O Lord, and we listen to you, O God. And Father, the scaremongers, the fearmongers of this world, O God, let their voices, Lord, be silent in our presence, Amen. Father. Amen. But let the voice of the Lord ring loud and clear with the victory and the rejoicing and the angels in heaven giving glory and praise unto our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. We give you praise in Jesus' mighty name, and we will stay faithful to you and to your word. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Let's give a clap offering to the Lord. Hallelujah.